Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, Roma, they deliver another weekend treat for everyone. They fall 3-2 to Bologna before getting into whatever that was. Thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Rex Dale Roma, or Rex Dale Roma, whichever you prefer. Thank you for your support, and to everyone out there. The first comment I saw, Andy, was on our last episode, was, "We're here, don't worry, we're hanging in there with you." Thank you. Thank you. If you could like, subscribe, at IS Roma Press, if you want to become a patron, and further torture yourself and cement your place in this universe as being cursed, patreon.com/RomaPress. Thank you to everyone hanging with us through this. I don't know how to find words for this, Andy. I want to be mad at everybody. It's easier when there's a central figure. Yeah, when there is one clear guilty party who can be pointed at and you can put your anger towards. The problem here is I can find about 20 to 30 individuals, instances, several things that I can blame for this situation. I am beyond yelling, screaming in my patron reaction after Verona. I sounded like Alex Jones. I can't get there anymore because I feel so defeated. Can you think of a more miserable? It's the 10th of November. Have you ever appreciated an international break more than this one? Let's start with that. No Roma this next week.
Finally.
That's great, yeah?
Freedom.
Oh. Well, you say freedom. Now my mind goes to Braveheart, Mel Gibson, and a series of voicemails that Mel Gibson made, what, 2009 or 10?
Yeah.
A series of very, they had a bit of everything bad. There was a tad of racism, misogyny, it had a bit of everything. But at the center of it, there was an unhinged Mel Gibson. And I am unhinged, and the calm I am showing here and the restraint is taking far more than I even knew was possible. Don't Google, because I before pressing record, I felt like, oh man, don't turn into the next, it's an infamous character, Christine Chubbuck. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Don't Google who that was or what she did. May or may not have been a news anchor who ended her existence live on television.
Oh yeah, for a small network, for a small California network, I believe.
Was it California or was it Florida?
I think it was California.
Oh, maybe like, you are right. I don't know.
Feels like something that would happen in sunny California, you know?
I don't know where to begin.
But yes, really, in short, she blew her brains out on camera. Live.
Yes, and she gave a very bizarre...
Are you saying that this is where we are headed? Is this part of the show? Are we?
No, whether it be this or just we all go through tough spells in the personal life, and then when you combine it, so you have a mixed drink, and then when you add that final ingredient to the brew, it can be a bit lethal, and that's what this feels like to me, man. This is watching this Roma. There's no joy. It is misery. You see a team devoid of belief, a parody of itself from what it was 10 months ago when Jose Mourinho was still at the helm. Even in the difficult spells, you did not see Roma making errors of this level. Andy, I feel like what's the name of that music that when it just seems like a complete joke? You told me the name of it and I made a
Benny
meme
Hill?
Of, yes, of Brian Cristante some years ago. Yes. It feels like if you just removed commentary and played that on loop for the entirety of a Roma match, it would be more fitting than any useful commentary that would come from. Yes. I mean, that first goal, if you want, look no further than that first goal, bouncing off of the chance to the stomach area of Gianluca Mancini, directly into the path of Bologna, and they get the goal. Look no further than VAR calling one off for him, calling one off for Bologna, and they score what, just seconds later, seemingly.
Yes.
I don't even know what to pinpoint as where my I'm beyond anger. I'm resigned to the reality that for the next month, 6 months, you and I are going to have to do this on a weekly to sometimes bi-weekly basis and give actual analysis on
I think
team.
I think we're beyond analysis.
Truly, I mean, I mean, I hate coming on here and seeming, you know, like the Italian-born Cleveland resident Stephen A. Smith, who gives some absurd takes, and you know, a bit for shock factor, but also a bit in hyperbole. In my reaction episode to this one for other patrons, I just said, give me Tommaso Baldanzi, Pizzilli, Dovbik, Svilar, Evan Ndika. Maybe I allow Angelino into the reserved area, and I just burn everything else down to the ground. I don't want to see anybody else beyond those few names for the rest of the season.
But you know that's not going to happen, so.
I know, Andy, I know it's not going to happen, but I'm at the point now where fantasy is the only thing I can cling on to with this team, because the reality of this situation is so terrifying. If you look at the table, I was never good at maths, okay? With ADHD, I struggled with maths, love history. Well, I'm not that good at maths, but when I pull up the table, the maths tell me that Roma, they currently sit in Serie A 12th. Okay, how many points is that above relegation? Four. Holy shit, four.
To be honest with you, I'm actually looking forward to being able to do this on Saturdays. It will be much more relaxing. Serie B has a very nice
schedule.
Serie B has a very nice schedule on Saturdays. You know, at least if you play it on Saturday, then you have a relaxed Monday. You know what I mean? So I'm actually not all that against relegation. I think it would really do us good for our systems to reset. You don't play on Thursdays. You just play Saturdays. Very comfortable. Most of the games are in the afternoon on Saturday, so you have the rest of the day free, and then you have Sunday to relax. I mean, what's not to love, you know? So I wouldn't go so against. I wouldn't go so against this. Obviously, no. In all seriousness, you know, whoever thought
very quickly before you get into the serious point, I just want to say if Roma do go to Serie B, I am looking forward because my Vicenza,
you never
look at Serie C. By the way, second place, don't look at who they are behind. Veneto football is back, and I'm ready for
it. Now you're taking credit for it, but when they were in
Vicenza press all day.
You're a bandwagon, John. I'm sorry, but you are.
Oh, yeah. In the 29th installment of Vicenza football.
Well,
I am sorry. Go ahead with your point. I'm looking forward to be able to spending time with my uncle Valentino.
You know,
when we go to the stadium and watching,
dude, I mean, I miss teams like Triestina, Albino Lefe.
Yes.
I remember the days when those guys were in Serie A. I love them. So it'll be nice. I do think that, in all seriousness, whoever expected the reaction today is either high on drugs or has to be locked up in some clinic right away. and has to start doing drugs because
another one of our patrons today, were there, man.
I feel so bad.
Don't you wish you could forewarn them?
Well, I mean, we've been doing it. Every single one of these things has been a big forewarning. I can't say enough. Don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. And today, especially with Ivan Juric's time coming to an end, you knew that these guys were not gonna give us anything. They gave us a semblance of a reaction in that second half, but clearly, it was a half-assed attempt. They were never really in it. Bologna dominated from start to finish. Roma, in the end, even the players barely run in the final 10 minutes. Like, it was clear as day. Something died after that Fiorentina disaster. The players never tried to commit to this coach again. Today, I honestly was not surprised to see this team go down repeatedly because what motivation do they have? How do you as a team can respond to a manager who has been basically publicly put to shame, you know, publicly ostracized with the media saying repeatedly in the lead up to this game that regardless of the result, he is going to get sacked. So you as a Roma player, you're looking at the international break. You're about to go and play for France, for Italy, for whatever. What motivation do you have to show up today of all match days? What will make, where's the difference? You know, lose, draw, win, the outcome is going to be the same. So what, you know? That's the thing. That's the thing that is perhaps the most demoralizing is that we find ourselves in these situations where we can almost explain the lack of determination, the lack of any semblance of play from these guys. Because, yeah, logically, I mean, De Rossi's dismissal trumped all the plans. De Rossi's dismissal caught these guys off guard, and they never recovered from that. And they've been using that excuse of De Rossi being dismissed so abruptly for the last month and a half. So I'm not surprised that today we are where we are, four points off relegation zone, because this is what this team has done so far, which is nothing. They haven't done anything. They have not shown us anything. They've shown glimpses of stuff, but way too little. So far, they have played like a relegation team. And that's something that is hard to accept, but must be accepted, because that's what the Friedkins have to do now in the international break. They have to send a clear message that, guys, either we commit to being relegated, or we commit to our original objective, which is trying to qualify for Champions League football. But this in between stuff, you know, this mediocrity is useless. So, like, you know, you then tell us now. Tell us who is motivated, who wants to play. We'll have you guys playing. The other ones can sit on the bench. Leandro Paredes doesn't want to be part of the team. Done. Sold in January. Okay. Who cares? Someone unhappy. Off you go in January. You're not gonna touch the pitch. But that has to be the attitude, because as bad as Juric has been in his decision-making leading up to today, in my opinion, you just cannot let off the hook at an entire team of players that we've said times and times again have quality, and then you never had the sense that they were ever in control of their fate so far. And that's the thing. Neither with De Rossi nor with Juric, you never got the sense that this team knows what it's doing.
I couldn't agree more with you. We will get to Juric in a moment, because there's so much that he has done that has made me feel bamboozled. I feel as if I was caught in a Ponzi scheme almost with Ivan Juric, to think that I was getting one thing and then to get another. It is beyond.
Well, but it's clear as day that he was outright rejected, because
absolutely.
If you listen, you can have the shittiest team available. But a new coach will immediately be embraced no matter what. Like, we've seen that happen time and time again with worse teams. We've seen that happen with worse managers coming in. A manager will, the impact of a new manager coming in will always reverberate, okay? So even someone like De Rossi, who came off a terrible experience at Spal, he comes to Roma, that jolt, he sends a jolt, and it's pure emotion. It's not even about tactics, it's emotion, and he picks those guys up. Juric came in, these guys rejected him from the get-go. The win against Udinese was a fluke. The win against Venezia was a fluke. And everything else was exactly that, was these players saying, no, we don't want you here, we're not buying you as a coach, and we are unhappy, and we're not gonna do what you're asking of us, because what Juric has been able to achieve, even in worse settings, with Genoa, with Torino, with Hellas Verona, all those teams had perhaps shitty results, but you couldn't argue against their clear-cut way of playing. I don't know what Juric wanted from Roma, because the players never showed anything that Juric is known for. So I have no idea what went on in those training sessions. But one thing I can assure you is that these players, they went up to Juric and said, you're not our coach. That's clear as day.
Well, that is clear as day. I suppose my biggest question mark, or trying to at least get a comprehension, because I do agree, you need the freakins to at least go in front of these guys and say, okay, this is, forget unacceptable. We were at the point of unacceptable after Genoa, okay, when we decided to sack Daniele De Rossi. But this is something that is beyond my understanding, because, and maybe I am deluded at least to a certain extent, but when I just look at this team on paper, okay, which is the only way you can find any goodness of this team is on paper, but now at least. Forget this relegation thing, Andy. I still maintain it. And again, maybe there is some delusion there. Fine, I can at least admit that. This is a team that, on paper, has the ability to contend for top four, which is what the goal was. And I don't think that expectation is too much, was too wild, and by the way, was something that the club themselves did not even believe was out of reach. So when I look at the situation of the expectations prior to the season, to the situation we are now, I am just trying to understand. Again, somebody explain to me, as if I am 5 years old, how to recover. What is the path forward? Because I think you would agree with this, yeah? Tomorrow you bring in Allegri, Mancini,
which is the more realistic option right now.
Sure. I'm just trying to say that this is not, we're not changing one thing and, okay, Roberto Mancini is here. Things are going to be much better just by way of changing the manager. Yes, there are some things that, there is a certain boost, as you said, a new manager gives to the team without implementing very much of anything. That just, and even if you look at statistically, new managers, they have a short-term, immediate boost, sure. Just statistically, across football. And I'm sure that's no different than, you know, in NBA. What I am trying to understand is, okay, we have the new manager. What is the path? Because I have to tell you, even before kickoff, Ivan Juric, and this is just one of several reasons why he has to go, and one of the several reasons why I think he is a fraud. Andy, the thing he did with Paulo Dybala defies logic. He's your best player. He is one of the few players you have that is not complete shit. You can count on one hand right now at Roma how many players actually possess quality, no matter how good or bad a moment is. They will always possess that level of quality. Paulo Dybala is one of them. What Ivan Juric did by trotting out in that pre-match press conference, stating that Paulo Dybala didn't play in Brussels in the midweek, and he is not being called up tomorrow because he is dealing... I forget the word he used exactly, but he alluded... Two injuries.
Well, he discomfort. Yeah.
Discomfort. Discomfort. Yeah. He made it seem as if this was an older injury that was giving him some problems. It wasn't a new injury or a fresh injury, but it was something that he suffered prior and that was giving him issues. You have Paulo Dybala and his agent, Mr. Antun, who I have said repeatedly on this podcast, if we were to make, you know, the tier list that you see all the time on Reddit, where whatever, ABCD, he is at the bare bottom. Whatever the basement of the tier list is, this guy is one of the worst agents I have ever encountered. And I am speaking purely of his business acumen. Very nice guy. But if you just look alone from the manner in which he handled the renewal of Paulo Dybala at Juve to how things have been handled at Roma, he is very bad at his job. Nonetheless, I give him respect. I am polite to him always. And his agent was on the horn within 2 minutes of those words being reverberated throughout the media landscape. When I have an agent messaging me unprompted, I know there's a problem. I know there's a problem. Something is wrong. He messaged everybody, Sky Sport, Pagina Romani, no matter how big or small your website is, no matter if you are television, print, or online, he messaged you. And he said, Paulo is not dealing with anything. He is stunned by this decision. He was not told of this decision that he would not be called up against Bologna. He can play now as he was able to Thursday. That is what he said. Quote. Hold on. Now the quote. That was off the record. Remind me to edit that one out. That is what he said. He said that to me. He said to every single person, even slightly involved with AS Roma Media. So, Andy, that is one of the most unprofessional, confusing. You want to talk of, you know, like breaking off your nose to spite your face? Like it's essentially.
And there we have that. folks. Ivan Juric has been sacked. I just want to make it clear that as we are recording this in the afternoon, a half an hour after the match against Bologna, Ivan Juric has been sacked. So by the time this podcast rolls out, we will know more about who will be taking over Roma next. But right now, this is the situation. Ivan Juric has been.
I will remove the silence of my phone and let's see who put it out there. Andy, was it Sky
Filippo?
Sport?
No, Filippo Biafora put it out, confirming that Ivan Juric was on Roma's bench for the last time today, and it was clear as day. No pre-match interview, press conference, really just completely devoid of any energy. It was just a sad sight, and it's a short-lived, disastrous tenure comes to an end. Some can say that, you know, you could foresee it. Some can say that you could tell it in advance that that this was not going to work out. Unfortunately, that's the case right now. Roma are in a terrible situation, and Juric is the one to pay for it.
Yes, and I am waiting on Gianni Castaldi of Roma to confirm it, but it seems as if that is the case, because two others of Roma, who I can't say who they are saying that was the case. They came down immediately at full time to tell him this. Before getting to Juric, because there are some things that need to be said about that, but Andy, you get Mancini tomorrow, you get Allegri tomorrow, whoever you bring in, it doesn't magically, automatically mean things get better. I think you and I both agree on that. The problem I have is, not only have you seen a group of players not responding to a guy who has been at Roma for one full month and half a month, give or take, and they've shown, I mean, next to nothing. They've given you almost zero reason to believe in them. So is this something that is merely a lack of belief in the manager, and we can kind of just narrow it down to that, that it's difficult to go out there with conviction when you have a manager like that on the bench. Because as much as I want to completely run and embrace that point of view, it is very difficult for me to see, you know, Gianluca Mancini making these errors. It is difficult for me to see a midfield. And yes, Gianni Castaldi of Roma just confirmed it. Yes, there was a case, and they published a statement as we are on here. So yes, there is no speculation. He is gone. And their statement reads, "We would like to give our thanks to Ivan Juric for his hard work these past weeks." Oh, that's when you know the statement is bad. These past weeks. Oof. "He handled the difficult environment with the utmost professionalism, and for that we are grateful. We wish him all the best in his future endeavors. The search for a new manager has already begun, and we expect an announcement in the coming days." Amen. Because that means it is Roberto Mancini. Right? He's unattached. That's what it has to mean, yeah? Going to be him, Andy? Somebody you are excited about? Maybe this can get me out of my like full-throne depression that I'm in right now, man. Because having to do this after watching this sort of stuff is so demoralizing and difficult to do. It just weighs on you. Roberto Mancini, before we move on to Ivan Juric, the fraud, does he excite you?
The Roberto Mancini, you mean?
Yes, yeah. Well, no. No, Ivan Juric 2.0. No, I mean, a kick to both my testicles excites me more than the prospect of Ivan Juric spending even more than 1 hour in the city of Rome.
Well, you know, I mean, but Ivan Juric, listen, I think Ivan Juric was always, whoever came in, I think, after Daniele De Rossi was going to have the hardest time ever. I mean, basically, kind of like when Jose Mourinho, right, was there. When Jose Mourinho left the club, whoever stepped in was going to have the task of a lifetime to fill in those shoes, to try and make up for Mourinho's dismissal. Same thing for Daniele De Rossi leaving. I always thought that was the hardest thing, not even to get the players playing, but to actually like hold up the image of Roma, maintain some clear like communication strategy, be able to impose yourself in a really difficult environment. I thought Ivan Juric, with his demeanor of a guy who just doesn't give a crap, would be able to do that. Unfortunately, that's not what happened. Unfortunately, we are here. It's the 10th of November, and we just sacked the second coach of the season, okay? So we are halfway through the season of 2004-2005 in terms of the coaches that were sacked. I think it's an unfortunate thing to see, you know, to see Juric go out the way he did. This was his biggest challenge of the career, and it hurt him, and he hurt us, we hurt him. I think this was a mutually destructive relationship. Short-lived.
Mutually assured destruction, yes.
Yeah, and listen, it's not his fault. In all these situations, it's not the manager, sure, the manager makes mistakes with regards to team selection, communication, like he did. And Juric, as we were pointing out, made huge mistakes, especially now with Paulo Dybala being excluded for whatever reason, Hummels mismanagement, you know, all kinds of things we can attribute to that. But his presence here in the first place was the sign of things done wrong behind the scenes. So Juric is just a symptom in a long line of really bad symptoms that have been affecting this team for the past few months.
Absolutely. No, nobody is going to disagree with that, I think. I think more than one thing is able to be agreed upon and true in this situation, where the Friedkins have so much to answer for. I'm still trying to impart onto everybody that when you learn about them, as much as I have, and talk to people in and out of the Friedkin group, I am talking of the upper echelons of the entire company. Again, I think I told this on here. The only one of the few reasons why I was able to get as much information as I was able to is they had a group chat going on during negotiation with Roma. And I was mistakenly added into one of the group chats because we all know during the negotiation they came to Rome and they put out a memorandum giving the details of all of the larger media outlets and journalists. So they had my mobile and they mistakenly added it into a group, one of the senior executives and one of the members who was actually on the board of IS Roma still. That aside, they have so much to answer for because what has taken place these last few months is completely antithetical, completely against every single thing we have seen from them in their time in the Italian capital. Now, everybody is able to make mistakes, and the assumption is you learn from them and you grow. And I will just once more reiterate what I said in the previous episode. Andy, there have been times where you could make the argument they were too quickly to move on or to change or to switch up the approach with Derossi, whether with certain executives. We can find so many instances of it where our criticism of them has been, wow, you really did not give that an opportunity to sort of play out or see if it changed or worked itself out. But when I see what they're doing with Juric here, where I think we could even agree outside of that Udinese match, how many moments over these last 1.5 months are you able to pinpoint that you saw a team growing, you saw a team clearly believing and working in unison alongside the manager, going full throttle, knowing what his instructions have been? How many times have you seen a team appear to learn from their mistakes where we understand the new manager is here, we have to learn to play a new way of football, this is not going to be the football of Daniele De Rossi, but we're growing in what the manager is asking. Andy, from the moment he arrived here, it has been regression after regression after regression, and they are...
Yeah.
They are, because I would say, far worse now than they were since he arrived.
Because the team rejected him. Because the team rejected him. It's clear as day that that was the case. And that's a lame excuse for the team. But it is what happened. As in, this is what the players will say. You know, we will see so many of these instances where players in interviews say 6 months from now or when the season is done, they will look back on this spell and they will say, oh, De Rossi's dismissal shocked us so much, we just couldn't do anything, we couldn't play the way we wanted to. And that is unfortunately the case, but it's also a lame excuse, because it's not like Juric came in and he started to, you know, to dictate abnormalities to these guys. Yeah, sure. I mean, his style was completely different than what De Rossi wanted from his team. But at the same time, if you're a player, that doesn't... if you think about what happened in this 1.5 months, I could point more toward individual mistakes than anything else as the primary reason Roma fell so many times, because they kept making such basic errors that would undercut repeatedly their own growth. So whenever we did something good under Juric, you'd have Nicola Zaleski do a basic mistake. You'd have Zeki Selic do a basic mistake. You'd have someone else do a basic mistake time and time again. I mean, today, Gianluca Mancini doesn't jump. He's not looking for his man. He's Gianluca Mancini today makes an elementary mistake, a rookie mistake that a defender in a Serie D club should be able to not make. That's something that's a mistake that they teach you not to do when you're 10 years old. You'll follow your man. You don't follow the ball. You follow your man. And so how many times have we seen that with Juric, where anytime the team seemed to come out of their shell, a player would come in, do some basic ass mistake that would then put the team in jeopardy. Too many times. So yes, Juric was the wrong choice in hindsight. Juric was not able to impart whatever he wanted from the team. But the team, don't get off the hook here. They let him down. They rejected him, just like they let down Daniele De Rossi. Just like they were not able to do anything, really, since Bayer Leverkusen. I haven't seen a single remarkable performance by this team since then. So I haven't seen anything inspiring in the course of these last 7 months, and that is the worrying thing. The hope is now that someone comes in who really has not only the time, but also knows how to meet the moment, knows how to find a way to basically wind the clock back and try and get into these players' heads. But something must be done, because yes, you're facing afterwards a really grueling schedule. Napoli, Atalanta, Tottenham. On the flip side of that, those are games where you can prepare. Like, those are games that you have to show up for. Those are games that if you're a team like Roma and you're in a slump right now, those are the games that will lift you up. But that starts with the players who are now under examination, because you cannot possibly think that after sacking two coaches within 2 or 3 months, you're letting the players off the hook. No way.
No, you can't let them off the hook. I don't know if this will make anybody feel better or not. However, one of the club's staff members that I know very well, he's in the, I can't say his title because it gives it away, but he is in the administrative staff of Roma. He messaged to me. They approached Ivan Juric to give him the news of his official dismissal before he was even allowed to re-enter the dressing room at full time. Again, I don't know if that will make anybody feel better.
No,
or not.
That's actually sad. That's actually sad.
It is sad.
I always hate these things. I do think that Juric, mind you, has been in these situations countless times. So I don't know if that says something about him or the clubs that he worked for. But this is brutal. As in, this is brutal because he never got a real shot at it. You know, this was his moment. But except for the match against Udinese, the media were always against him. The fans were always against him. The players were against him. And the management was so-so on him, because it was clear as day that this guy came in just on an interim basis. So that's the thing. He was put into the corner on his own from day one. How can you hope to succeed by doing that? You know, how can you hope for the players to respect him if you're completely ostracizing him?
In fairness, though, I will say, to quote the great, one of my favorite comedians of all time, the beloved Patrice O'Neill, the bit he has about it's like going up to a bear covered in salmon and honey. That is essentially what Ivan Juric did when you make decisions such as doing the exclusion of Paulo Dybala, when you have this very bizarre handling of Mats Hummels, where you say, he's still in my plans, we're counting on him, I just made some technical choices, and then you put Brian Cristante in his place. While I do agree there were forces against him, you make it
no, absolutely
easier.
And we said it from as soon as, remember, before even that Fiorentina game, I think it was for Dynamo Kiev, when we said, why are you making things complicated? Why not give Hummels a chance and at least quiet the waters? Why make it worse? Why heighten the tension? Why heighten the speculations, the rumors? If you can just give the fans and the media what they want, start Hummels. What does it hurt you? What's the worst thing that can happen? At least you will have less of a headache because of that. But absolutely, Ivan Juric so many times took this sort of highway, and And it just didn't work out. It didn't work out because in certain contexts, you can do that, you know, go your own way and do things your own way. But at in Rome, you really respond to larger forces because as soon as you stop giving someone like Hummels playing time or as soon as you exclude Paulo Dybala, the situation will blow right in your face. And you should know that. Unfortunately, it seems like Ivan Juric was at the beginning thought that this may be a showing of strength. I don't know. But it clearly didn't work. It didn't work for the players. It didn't work for the fans. It didn't work for the media.
No, it didn't work at all. And I cannot understand because there is such a large sample size of managers when they come in and try to sort of impose themselves on the ambiente Roma. It just doesn't work. I'm not saying you need to go there and ingratiate yourself and kiss the backsides of the media or certain newspapers. But you can't come in and just for the sake of showing authority or wanting to make it clear as to who is boss here, that just puts you in such a bad position when things do, and they will eventually go wrong. They go wrong at some point, whether it be 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade. They go wrong at some point, and you put yourself in such a losing position when you try and frame yourself in that manner, where you try just because, and here's the other thing too, the exclusion of Paulo Dybala, the handling of Mats Hummels, okay? They don't further anything. What if there was a reason for, if there was a logical reason where if I do A, then B will happen, then I can understand, then I can at least see, if it doesn't work out, I can at least understand as to why he chose to do certain things. Those two things don't further you in any discernible manner. They don't help Roma, they don't improve the team, they don't make your situation as a manager easier. They do not lead to a positive outcome for anyone. So why are we doing it beyond trying to, again, impose myself and show who is boss? That's why I think of Juric with the approach he took here. It is all wrong. I feel like, again, Vito standing over Sonny because I backed Ivan Juric. I was excited. I thought it would work. I thought he could motivate these guys, but I couldn't have been more wrong. Thank goodness the international break is here. Has there ever been an international break?
I think we said the same thing the last time.
This is fantastic. this one, we definitely, if we needed that last one, we need this one far more. So everyone, this has sucked. This has sucked. We will be back though. Just take a breath, breathe. We're going to get a new manager. We can do a live stream about that, Andy. Oh, I can't wait. Having to break down the Italian national team's final year of performances under Mancini and trying to give some sort of in-depth analysis about that. At some point, we will torture ourselves further with that. But for now, everybody, go pour yourself whichever beverage you prefer. Just make sure to do so in moderation. We will get through this. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. This has been difficult, but knowing there are people out there watching and supporting it, it obviously makes doing these in the moments such as this a lot easier and tolerable. So we will chat with you soon. Until next time, ciao.